This is an 8-iron, and it's a dead shank.
Wow.
Way right.
Oh, takes a hop off the path.
You got to be kidding me.
Very tough pitch shot right here. You got to hit it into the hill. One hop up and bite, and it's in.
Kind of like that.
Hey, guys. This is Jay from Sub 70. I just wanted to jump on, give a quick intro to this podcast episode. It's the second sort of roundtable conversation with myself, Jason, Grant, and Ryan. We did a little bit of a review on the European Tour Dubai Desert Classic, talked about the Farmers Insurance Open and Tiger's comeback, the J.B. Holmes slow play issue, talked about the playoff and Jason Day. And then we talked about some other topics, including golf equipment, looking forward to the Waste Management Open, and some other cool stuff. So check it out. There is some sort of bizarre racquetball sounding noise kind of scattered throughout the talk. I think we were possibly drumming our thumbs on the table, and I do apologize for that. Check it out. Hit us up on social media at GolfSub70. The podcast is now available on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and Stitcher. So hopefully you can spread that. Shoot us some ratings and reviews and give us any feedback you got. Thanks.
Are we recording?
It's recording, yeah. Right. But
okay.
We'll edit
Why
it.
Did anybody actually prepare for this?
I did.
By like writing out a list
no,
of stuff to talk about?
I got nothing this
it's
time.
It's in my head.
Topics?
Love it.
So. Okay.
Well, first, no, let's stay away from Farmers. We got to go over to Dubai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Rory's like 34 under, or 43 under in two tournaments.
Yep.
He's just bombing it off the tee. It's straight. It looks good.
He of the, what did you say his short game was?
I'm not going to repeat it.
You said it was brutal.
Yes. I think I said it was effing brutal.
He did.
But
he looks good. He looks really good.
Yeah, it was nasty. So that was impressive to see if he got to see any of it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if anyone did.
I watched some of it. I'm surprised he lost. I'm surprised that kid, what's his name?
Kyle Chung Lee.
He's got second win, right? It's his second win in the European Tour?
I think he's won like six around the world.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. I just thought Rory would
finish like top five at the Open last year.
Oh, yeah. He shot like 63 in the last round. He's almost caught those guys.
Yeah.
So.
And he's a betting hardy guy.
Yep.
The other thing I'm thinking of, though, is the European Ryder Cup team is going to be good.
They're looking really good right now.
Starting to shape up. You watch both of those tours, and the guys were playing well. American's going to be in for it. Not in on saying they're going to win or lose, but it's not going to be a pushover like everyone was, I think, generically thinking 6 months ago when you sort of stacked the teams up.
But I think it sways. Like, the hype train goes back and forth every time. Like, a couple Euro guys will win tourneys, and then, you know, DJ and Spieth and Justin Thomas will play well in April. You know, as if that's going to make a difference when the Ryder Cup comes along.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago is when they had three Ryder Cuppers win tournaments for the European. You got Rahm won his.
Fleetwood.
Yeah, Fleetwood won over there.
Yeah.
And then Sergio won in Singapore.
Yeah, he played like the Asia Tour. What was up with that?
Parents
Big
fee.
Paycheck.
Parents
yeah.
fee. Yeah,
yeah.
You can do it over there. But, so, I mean, it could come down to, like, what, the last two or three players on the European team, like how will they compare against the American team of our 10 through 12? I mean, that might be the difference. The first 8 or 9 are going to be right there, world ranking one.
That's the argument, is the depth of the two teams, right?
Well, in theory, yes.
And but that all depends, too, because you never know, like, who's playing well.
Exactly.
It's a long year to rack up points.
Yeah, it's 7 months from now.
Bernd Weisberger playing out of his, you know, rear end the last
the Euro,
4 months of the season. He's hot and you put him in there.
Yeah. The Euro points, I know, at least are, like, back-weighted, too. So, like, the tournaments leading up to the Ryder Cup are worth more than
as
tournaments now.
The Euros had that kind of figured out of how to get the best guys, you know, what they're... How do you field the best team and get it out there and have them ready for it? So it's going to be really interesting, especially on foreign soil. I think it's going to be close.
That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, we got to talk Tiger, right?
Can't hit a fairway.
I figured we would get there eventually.
Chill out. Chill.
But yeah, it was, I don't know, I would say like a B minus. Other people were saying A plus, but from where he was in December to where he was in January with the driver, it was like, I couldn't even comprehend what was going on. Swing was different. Results were different. Bahamas was so good. It was free. It was killed. And this is his course. This is somewhere he's comfortable, you know?
Right. Hypothetically.
Courses for horses. You got to feel good. You got to trust it. He's seen that course 1,000 times. He's 60 under or whatever the number is, you know? And then,
well, clearly, I think, like, he picked this tournament to come back because of all the things that you just said. But I watched on Thursday morning, and he looked tense on the first tee. Like, he didn't look like he was relaxed and no nerves, the old Tiger. He was, I think, sort of apprehensive and trying to get the feel back. So,
well, how much different is that as playing a resort golf course and playing a golf course and Sunday look like a U.S. Open?
I mean, well, and like, I'm sorry, but the course in whatever, the Hero, where was it?
Bahamas.
The name of the town, though, is like
Albany.
Albany, thank you. The fairways were so wide.
Yeah.
So huge. Yeah.
Which frees you up.
And clearly, Torrey is not a wide course off the tee. So, you know, to the extent that that was one of the major issues, is that he was missing fairways, I think that probably could have been expected. The thing that blows my mind is just the overarchingly general principle that the dude hasn't played competitive golf, like legit competitive golf, in a year, and he went T20.
Short game. He beat
however many people started on Thursday morning were, let's say, 100 of the top 200 players in the country or the world. And granted, there's a lot of people missing, but and he beat a whole bunch of those dudes, professional golfers who were clearly out there trying to do the best they could. So even at his, you know, coming back in for the first time, feeling those nerves, whatever, he was still T20, which is insane to me.
But Grant and I haven't talked, which is probably good as we can go about this, but I thought I saw some things in his golf swing that looked more not, I didn't like the obvious, I mean the results, but the driver swing, we've seen the same thing where it looks like he's working more underneath it again.
But that's not, he's not doing that on purpose, because he had all of a sudden just come back from Albany and be like, hey, I just hit the driver so good, I better work on getting under flip.
Right.
You know, but it's just like a tendency. So, and he said that's what he's going to go work on, and hopefully he can get it back to where it was with that swing he had. But I'm not afraid of that swing, because he showed how good it could be, and he'll get that back.
Yeah, the driver swing in Albany I thought looked great. This obviously was... It had the, I kind of call it, unsequenced lash look to it at times, where the lower body and upper body, and when he synced it up, he pounded it.
But the thing that was crazy, and if he went on like the tour app or something and looked at ShotLink, he was hitting like 340-yard push fades into the right rough.
Yeah, like, in heavy air.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because these things were not like rolling out in the rough. They were like hitting and maybe getting like 10, 15 yards a roll. So he was carrying it with a nasty block push cut, like 310 again.
Yeah. I noticed that too, because I saw a post on Twitter and it was all 18 or all 14 like tee shots from one day. And obviously, you know, what was it? 11 or 12 of them running up in the rough. And some of them were like 320 to right rough. It was like,
did anyone? What was his ratio of misses left versus right?
It looked goals? From that post, I saw it was pretty damn even. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, early it was, and then later on in the weekend, you could tell he was like, okay, I'm just going to hit a big ass push fade.
Yeah.
And if it kind of hugs the fairway and stays in, it's good. And if it doesn't, at least it's not going left. So.
Yeah, I saw him rip a couple of three woods off the tee that were beauties.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, his swing speed and ball speed and all that stuff is spot on.
But on the flip side, like, his short game and putting and grinding ability was incredible. Like, that was vintage.
He's always had that. And, you know, he had that little blip in 15 at the Phoenix and everything. And that's all everybody remembers. But Albany, you know, you heard people say he wasn't chipping well and his short game wasn't good there. I thought that was false. I thought it was really good. He had a lot of cool little touch shots over bunkers, short-sided. and everybody that week struggled chipping.
Yeah. Everybody did.
Yeah, they were saying those things were the grass around the greens were super tight, real grainy.
Yeah, so
Charlie Hoffman's putting with three woods basically 20 yards off the green, and he's leading.
No, that whole week there was chip shots rolling back to people's feet and stuff.
So that didn't bug me at all, you know, what he was doing there. But yeah, Torrey was good. And some of his chips weren't great. He just made a lot of 6 to 12 footers.
So let me ask the best player in the room a question then. Let's take, that's Grant here. So if you're playing tournament golf, and let's say you play two rounds, and you do it through chipping and putting and grinding, and the swing isn't there, are you more satisfied with that portion of your game being better, knowing your putting and the confidence from 100 yards and is really good? Or are you scared to death when you're over the tee shot, you know, you don't have even your C game with it, that you don't know if the two-way miss is going?
It's much better to have – I'd rather rely on chipping and putting than having an exceptional driving week and still shooting the same number.
Okay, so you'd rather take it that with putts going in and seeing the short shots and scoring when you have the ability.
That stuff breeds confidence as it goes later in the round. If you're hitting a driver well on Thursday, you don't get like super more confident with it as the round goes on or the week goes on, in my mind.
But you like it more when a 15-foot putt looks like a 5-foot putt.
Oh, yeah.
That's never happened to me.
I think like I had one day ever. By the time I got to the end, it was pretty much gone.
With everyone after the land ball strike.
I did 9-foot stretch and been putting more time.
Right.
Then the other thing I noticed from looking at this golf course is like, it does not look like a golf course I really want to go plop down $300 and play. Like it.
Well, Jay and I did it.
Yeah.
About 8 years ago.
Was this after the redo? After the Reese Jones?
2008 or 7 or 6 was the redo.
It was before that.
I think it looks worse. My oldest son was born in September of that year, so this was like June of 2009.
Yeah, you would have been the Reese Jones redo.
Yeah.
I look at Pebble and I get inspired by watching on TV, and I watch this thing, and it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
I mean, there's a handful of really good holes, but there's a lot of holes that are meh. And for the land that it's on, it could be a lot.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's certainly not like a masterpiece of golf architecture. I mean, it's fun. It's scenic as hell.
Well, can you name any Reese Jones golf course that is a masterpiece of golf architecture? It's got to be hard as hell. I mean, from the narrowness of the fairways, the way the bunkers are, the way the greens are up. I mean, watching those guys trying to, you know, stop balls on those greens downwind and those are the best players in the world, and they were struggling.
Well, yeah. So the 18th hole, if I'm not mistaken, they played it in the playoff. They played it once with Ryan Palmer. He was gone. Did they play it two more times or three more times before they went to 16?
Three more.
Oh, no, they 18, played 18, 18.
18.
Twice.
After Palmer was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went to 16,
then
17, back. 18,
yeah.
18.
So, am I wrong? Because I watched it, but I was doing laundry and watching the kids. Jason Day and Alex Noren birdied that hole every single time they played.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Noren, because they made six today. On today.
Yeah. Okay, right. But
the other ones, the same night?
They were like,
kept putting it on.
The two of them combined, were like 8-3.
I mean,
but they did it different ways.
They did.
They weren't just knocking it on.
And the hole was interesting to watch. I mean, off the tee, you put it in a bunker, you know, whatever. But I almost also felt like,
put him on the 230-yard par 3 and get it over with.
Someone's
going to make a par.
No, at some point, like, that the approach shot, assuming you're laying up, is a cool shot to watch. They're trying to land it slightly, bounce it slightly longer and suck it back a little bit, let it come down that hill. Whatever. But the fourth time I saw it, I was like, you guys, like, for real.
Yeah.
Well, did we go to the J.B. Holmes thing then? My God, was he slow the whole day?
I didn't get to see it, but I heard all about it.
The amount of practice swings he took.
And then he lays up into the rough.
Well, no, I mean, just through all day long, it was like brutal of how many practice swings and on the ball and off the ball he takes. And I just can't figure out is, let's take away the 4 minutes and 30 seconds. why is he laying up? He's been down by two. It's not like he needs the money. Like, I mean, if he goes down in flames, I mean, who cares?
Well, it kind of goes back to what Ryan was just saying, is that, like,
hit it.
After all of this deliberation, he apparently said that he felt like he had a better chance of holding his wedge putt that or his wedge shot than getting it on and making eagle. But you gotta it's kind of part of the reason why that hole is kind of repetitive from the playoff component.
Yeah, but if you're down two, though, and you're trying to win, you got to fire at it.
But Noren showed why he was in between clubs, just like Noren was. Noren had hybrid out, and then he went to three wood and hit it 50 yards over.
Right. But I'm just saying,
so, that's why you can't go for it. Because then you put yourself in a very uncomfortable spot where I'm not cool with the shot I'm hitting here. You completely take a three out of it. So, yeah, you could lay it up and people make that wedge shot off that
slope. Yeah, it comes down there.
I would tell my guy to hit the 5-wood and go for broke on it. Like, you got a 1 in... The chances of you... The math on holding an 80-yard wedge shot has got to be... I don't have the math on it, but it's got to be...
It's not good.
It's not good off on
that hole. Lot worse than making a 35-foot putt.
That's my point.
But I just don't think he had a club he could get on the green.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had, like, 235 and was going to try to hit a 5-wood.
Which is fine. I get it. But... A, why does it take 4.5 minutes to figure that out? And B, when you do decide to lay up, how in God's good name do you wind up pulling it 30 yards left of where you should be hitting it?
Concentration, just it looks like an easy wedge shot.
I know those are two separate things, but dear Lord, if I'm Alex Noren, I thought Alex was going to be like, yo, I'm going to hit because I'm sick of standing here waiting for you.
That dude is slow.
That's professional courtesy there.
I know.
I would have.
Was that a 3-wood Noren hit? Because I thought it was way too much club if that was
Well, he had three hybrid.
Yeah.
And then he had the hybrid. Three wood. Because he changed clubs while that bullshit was going on.
The best part of that was the ball apparently took a left-hand turn when it got in the tunnel. Did you see that?
When
he
went in the tunnel.
It was like a labyrinth. He, like, walked around and was like, doo-doo.
No, he played so slow. My God.
I was amazed. Like, other players were ripping him on Twitter and stuff. I mean, it was...
Well... It couldn't have been at a more. It couldn't have been at a worse time because Grammy's red carpet was coming on.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but here's the thing: now you got a whole bunch of people that already think golf is for boring, old, rich white guys.
Right.
And then they got to see this dumb shit just standing over a shot,
thinking about what to do.
And then, you know, curiosity took me to CBS's Twitter at 5:50 p.m. Why are the golfers still on? I want to see the red carpet. End it now. Golf is so boring. Literally no one cares about golf. If you're playing golf for another hour, why don't the Grammys are live on your app? Why is golf still on? About to cancel all my access because of this. You need to cut the PGA Tour. Turn off golf. We've been waiting for the Grammys. It's 10 minutes late.
Oh, yeah.
So what made them eventually say that's it, we're going to the Golf Channel?
They said they want to stick it all the way through regulation.
Right. So they only cut away when the playoffs.
And CBS is like committed to it. And
but what time was that? Because I recorded and watched it later. Was that?
I thought it was like 6:15.
Okay.
It was when they took it over to Golf
Channel. So the round was almost 6 hours.
It was 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
For touring pro.
That's not cool.
You could have 40 handicaps don't take 6 hours. I mean, that's crazy.
Jay played with one.
Yeah.
And then,
it would have been close. I don't know if he would have ever finished, but, to be honest.
I quit watching that playoff. To me, that's boring. The one with Rahm and Landry is boring.
Yeah.
After you get three or four holes in. The one in the, what?
They've all been terrible. I mean, honestly, like, it should be a suspenseful, awesome thing to watch. But a lot of the times, the holes that they play and the setup of it is just kind of like.
Put on a long par three.
You guys are out of your mind.
Yeah.
Noren, okay, Day made like a 12-footer to tie on like, was it the first playoff hole or the second?
First.
Then Noren had to make a 6-footer in the pitch black freaking dark to tie, which I was convinced he was going to miss. So it wasn't, I agree with you, it got repetitive because they played the 18th hole three times in a row, which, like I said, there's only so many times I can watch dudes hit that approach shot and be excited about it. But I thought it was reasonable. And Noren was hitting the crap out of the ball. I mean, they were both playing really good golf.
Yeah, it was great golf. But I gave up on the one at the Sony. That went 6 extra holes.
Yes.
The one at the Sony. I agree with you, the one at the Sony.
They keep playing. Oh, that was when they had, like, the skeleton crew?
Yes.
Oh,
they just had the blimp.
That was the only good thing about it, was that it was all blimp shots. I was texting with Jason. And I was like, this is like watching an episode of Cops where all you get is aerial, like, footage.
Well, the other problem is I didn't realize it for, like, three holes into, like, what's wrong here? There's no graphics.
No,
that's what I couldn't figure out. Like, what the hell is wrong with this? And it's like, oh, there's literally no graphics.
So when that playoff was going on, and I was thinking about it, because they just kept playing 18 over and over again. It's like the same tee shot, and then it's an easily reachable hole, and then you have guys, it's a putting contest, basically.
Yeah, right.
I was like, I feel like all of these playoffs, like, almost would be better served going to, like, a three-hole aggregate or something to, like, try to, like, change up the strategy or make it, like, a little more, like, interesting as far as, like, I guess
you're saying strategy. The Open Championship has it right.
I think so. Yeah, they do a four-hole, right? But
yeah.
Either way,
U.S. Open.
I feel like it would be better if they played a par three, par four, par five or something and actually gave the guys, like, a chance to, like, make up a stroke if they hit a bad tee shot on a hole.
I mean, the U.S. Open format where we play another 18 holes the following day.
That's too much.
Regular.
Well, no, that's the thing. That's probably the fairest way to determine it, right?
I mean, sudden death is obviously brutally harsh,
right?
Which
a lot of those guys got commitments.
But you got to get guys out of town. So
yeah, like I watched the playoff this morning, and it was just like uneventful and just.
That's why I gave up on it.
Yeah, it's like okay,
the second hole.
Cool.
Yeah,
like it's over now. Great.
All right, so there's a 45-second rule, right? From the time that it's your turn.
Oh, they never enforce it.
No, they don't. Right. It's a lax rule, but you're supposed to have 45 seconds from the time that it's your turn to hit the ball. 4.5 minutes is...
clearly excessive.
Yeah.
But they're not going to fine them.
Right.
Or penalize them.
But let me make a point here. The rounds were 6 hours. I totally agree with the assertion that this was a moment, right? I mean, it was big decision, playoff, blah, blah, blah. But the rules should not be applied based on the situation. It's like the law.
But right? They've only assessed it twice ever.
I know, I'm just saying. So the ultimate point I'm making is that the PGA Tour is all about we need to speed up play, we need to get people moving. We need to make the game more interesting. You're seeing this across every sport, too. Baseball's doing it. Football's trying to figure it out. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you clearly have an opportunity, if you're the PGA Tour right now, to send a message and make a point.
You'd have to assess somebody a two-stroke penalty in the heat of battle if you really want to
stay. And ultimately, my point goes to what Jay was saying, which is the players themselves. Jim Nantz, who won't light up anybody on a broadcast, was lighting up J.B. Holmes. It was like, this is ridiculous.
That would have been one of the times when we needed Johnny Miller.
Absolutely. Miller would have been freaking out.
Yeah.
My point is, that if the Tour really wanted to do something about pace of play on the Tour, this would be the moment to do it. They're not going to.
Well, moment to do it going forward? You mean the next time someone's in that position?
They need to come out and say what J.B. Holmes did was completely... dumb, and you're not allowed to do that.
You could send a memo that says next time we're actually going to enforce it, then you have to hit somebody with it.
I heard that they like will fine guys and they don't publicize it, but that's it.
But I'm talking, doesn't matter about the money.
I don't care about fines.
It's not two-stroke penalty assessed.
Right.
Is that what the penalty is?
Yeah, probably one. They did it at the Zurich last year in that partnership.
Yeah, it was like a bullshit penalty, too. Yeah. It was like... something weird happened.
That, and then there's one prior instance where the only two that
it doesn't really help the game though. When that, like I said, people already have the preconceived.
Well, so there's the Euro Tour event this year that's gonna have like shot a strict clock. Shot clock.
Yeah,
and that'll be interesting.
Digital scoreboard on every guy. They are,
dude.
Tees it up or gets over his ball.
But that's the Euro Tour is awesome because it's so like progressive as far as that stuff goes, like formats and.
Someone explain to me what the seven, like the super sevens or whatever.
Sixes.
Sixes. Thank you. What did they do? They like teamed up and.
I don't know. I just remember seeing a lot of firecrackers and scrambles.
It was something insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to switch the format.
It's fun. Yeah. Like they'll just switch up the format for.
That was a couple months ago. They were talking about that. Where was that?
They did it last year.
They did it last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the European Tour, the end of the year type thing.
No, it was just right in the middle of the year.
Yeah, it was a regular event.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's a weird argument because there are so many different circumstances that occur on a golf course that can affect how long it takes to play a shot. And so, having a clock involved gets difficult based on the grayness of a given situation. But if you're saying it's a priority to speed up pace of play on tour, then you need to do things to do that. And this seems like an opportune time to do that.
It would be great.
I don't know.
It'd take 5 minutes for a shot. The John Rahm point, we were talking about the tour visor, and then notice the next week he goes back to the
flat brim
and wins.
Yeah.
I don't think the visor's coming back out anymore.
It went poorly this weekend, though.
Yeah.
I think, like, he was in Tiger Woods finishing territory, I think.
Yeah, he kind of...
Yeah. Oh, no, he's
he shot 77.
He shot 152 on the weekend.
That was surprising.
Yeah. Oh.
Did anybody else catch that Jim Nantz was talking about how John Rahm was up in the booth with them, hanging out, watching the playoff?
No.
He was, like, name-dropping. He was like, for all you guys out there that are John Rahm fans, I just want to let you know that John Rahm is currently standing behind us watching the playoff happen. His girlfriend, so-and-so, is good friends with Jason Day's wife, and so big show of support out there.
The other interesting...
He's got no problem packing it in.
No,
sideways.
Yeah.
No. He does not give a fuck.
He is wiry as hell, though, and it's funny to watch.
When it's going well, but then when it gets to a tipping point, he's just like, screw this.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm shooting 77.
I'm out.
Then Mr. Top 10, I saw Chucky Three Sticks sneaked into a top 10 again. Like, did he get Torrey Pines? Like, every year he basically shows up and makes like $150,000.
That guy's mind-blowing.
Eight out of the last 10.
It's eight out of the last 10 top 10 did?
Yeah.
It's just like a maybe, showing up for the paycheck. 15. Just showing up for his buck.
If you ask anyone, like, who is plays really well at Torrey?
3 years ago?
No. God, he hasn't won a tournament in the tour forever. He just keeps making $3 million a year.
It's insane.
It's amazing.
And just, like, no fire in his belly. I've seen him in person.
He's a great guy, though.
Chucky?
Might be a good guy, but he's not out there. He's not trying to win. He's not trying to kill people. He's just out there cashing checks. My take.
Yeah.
I don't care. You can come at me and say he's a professional. He's always trying to win, but he's not.
You think it just looks like it's just shushing.
Cruise control. Give me another 21st, and I'll take another 70,000. I'll do that 30 times a year.
Right.
Maybe I'll get a second or a third, and I'll make $2.4 million. That's all.
His career money is staggering on the PGA Tour. Woods got two wins, I think. He
flies all the way under the radar.
Yeah, he's got a great life.
He does.
Yeah.
Like, he came from a great life.
But, I mean, like, imagine that. Like, he's making, say, with endorsements and everything, $4 or $5 million a year. He does it forever. He could go out to a restaurant. No one's going to bug him. Like,
no.
That would be the greatest life ever.
I'm saying, I think he's full-on embraced that.
God bless him at some level.
No, I mean... I don't think he has any ambition to
win. Like a journeyman.
He's better than a journeyman. Grant's right, though. He had so much talent coming out of Oklahoma State. He was, like, going to be the next big, huge deal. I thought he was a 10-win, one-major type player. And it just doesn't seem like
he would hand out control.
But, my God, does he make a lot of money.
Which just shows it's probably easy to do that out there. It's easy to get complacent when you're just good enough and you know that. And you can always make that money. Maybe aren't motivated to go win 20 times, especially the ones that are 35, 36, 40 years old.
He's got to be. Is he late 30s now? He's got to be.
Yeah.
He's been out there forever.
Probably.
Yeah. But, I mean, you get kids, you get married, you...
But Chucky Three Sticks cashes the checks, man. He's a machine. But I laughed when he taught it. Hey, backdoor top 10 win again on Sunday for another $173,000 payday or whatever it was.
So... That brings us to the next point, which is Jason Day. Like, honestly, I kind of thought he was...
Guy pisses me off.
Gone. Like, I kind of felt like he had his meteoric rise...
Too much talent to be
on.
He's
like
the most fragile person.
That's
what pisses me off.
But he is a generational talent.
Yeah, he's so good.
But I used to love him. And then he just withdraws from everything.
From sneezing.
Yeah, he gets sick.
The vertigo.
His back hurts.
Oh, he literally sneezed and said he had to withdraw because it hurt a rib or something.
Yeah.
Back.
And then he withdrew from the Pro-Am on Wednesday.
Back.
And then wins the tournament. I'm like,
well, then on Thursday he was out there like dying to mark his ball. You know, his back hurt so bad he couldn't even like make the motion to mark his ball. It was
doing the Tiger where people are picking up his tees for him and shit. That was at Torrey last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty much there.
But I think he's just too good to be gone. I don't think he's going to win five times a year.
He's a generational talent.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Golf swing looks good.
I don't know, man. He didn't really do much for the last like year and a half.
Well, he's hurt.
Yeah, he's been injured. I mean, if he's got all of it together, when I guess what I'm saying is when he is really on, he's really good.
Well, there's only like four people that can compete with him.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I mean, it's top-notch stuff.
It's the same.
But he wasn't really good for the last year and a half or 2 years. No. Now, granted, he may have been injured, which I think we can all agree the way he swings at the ball, he's going to be injured more often than the average tour player.
Restricted hip turn, huge shoulder turn.
I mean, dude.
Well, they said he switched his weight routine from all that, you know. And, to protect against that kind of stuff.
Was he trying to get heavier?
No, he's like working more on legs and core. He got big into arms and back.
Yeah.
They think that hurt him. But, you know, he got rid of his caddy slash coach slash mentor.
Is he still coach? Him. Okay.
Yeah. But he went through some changes last year, kind of recalibrated. Started wearing Nike clothes.
That always
screws with a guy. Blade collar.
Dude, the blade collar needs to go.
It's terrible.
It's awful. It's ridiculous. Grant, will you be wearing blade collars at Kishwaukee Country Club?
I've never even seen anyone on a regular horse wearing one
no.
in the wild.
Even like college teams don't wear them, I don't think.
Not a single person.
Yeah.
Jay, you need to start a new trend. All blade.
That's the one I will not get on. I'm out.
And the other thing I was noticing, like, Tiger Woods golf pants don't look like they fit right.
Well, Sundays are baggy.
They're baggy.
I think he went to, like, vintage 2003 pants.
Yeah, what's going on with that? Like, it's like the rest of the Nike clothes actually look pretty good. Like, and then he's got this, the waist is, like, a little too high.
Yeah.
And then it, like, people can see this. I'm drawing it with my hands.
Bunches out.
It bunches out, then comes straight down like a bad suit from like 04.
No, it did. I noticed that too on Sunday.
That's vintage Tiger.
Just like
watch a video of Tiger from 2004. That's how he rolls.
That's why I was like, maybe he's trying to, you know, go back to
bring it back. He's also famously like one of the worst dressed like fashion people ever. Like,
him and Jordan. Like Michael Jordan's
sand. Oh, yeah. Bad suits.
Yeah.
Bad no suits. Clue.
Like weird jeans and mock turtlenecks.
And like the suit coat with like the huge, and then the big wide shouldered suits when everyone was going narrow.
Yep.
But no, I noticed the pants, like some don't look right. And I'm wondering like the people at Nike are like, we're trying to sell pants here.
Right.
This doesn't exactly work for the demographic we're going after of the young athletic people.
He's Tiger Woods.
It was not a good look with that belt, that shirt, and that.
Jason Day had a cool little five-pocket Nike pant. I haven't seen those, but those were sweet.
I liked his.
I'm all in on five-pocket pants.
Do you notice his entire family was decked out in Nike gear?
Smart.
His wife's name Ellie.
Yeah.
So Ellie and the two kids were like totally decked out in brand new Nike stuff. They all looked pretty dope. Yeah.
Talk about jackpot. Her.
Oh.
She was working as a waitress at like an unspecified restaurant in Ohio. And
it was literally like an Applebee's or something.
Yeah.
It was like some.
He was like web.com finals, maybe the one they had at the Scarlet Course. And he was like too afraid to talk to her, so his coach, manager, father-in-law like introduced him, and the rest is history.
He looks like he's a good guy though.
Oh, he is. He's
supposed to be a good guy, right?
Yeah, like, it's just like, you know, another gentle soul kind of guy.
Yeah, he's not a.
And he's, you know, he's gone through a lot of shit in his life.
All right.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Let's just take a brief segue.
No, I like talking about their wives.
I hope, Grant, that you say gentle soul in every single one of these podcasts.
Sergio is.
We're on number two. You said it twice.
Sergio's a gentle soul.
All right. You're going to have to just reserve the gentle souls.
Would you go Phil Mickelson as a gentle soul?
No.
Okay.
It'll be a theme at the end of every podcast. We'll say, who's the gentle soul for the week?
Ben Crenshaw.
I get on board with that.
This week's event, like, how much fun is watching Phoenix? Like, that is, I love watching it Saturday and Sunday.
I can't believe I haven't gone to that yet. It seems like it'd be like such a good opportunity to go out there and like play golf on, you know, play your own golf on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I like the dudes from Minnesota who are always on the 16th hole on Sunday, like in the same group with the same Minnesota Vikings. So no matter what the Vikings do that year, those guys have been going there for like 10 years. Like, it's a great tournament.
I have a handful of friends that have been there, and they say it's definitely as cool as what TV portrays it to be.
Didn't they have like a huge concert at night? Like,
always.
It's like every
night. It's a party, right?
Yeah, there's like 100,000 people that come out there from all the colleges and all that stuff. And, I mean, obviously a ton of them go to the tournament, but some of them don't. Some of them just come out there to party.
Is it like 600,000 or 700,000 people for the week?
Sounds about right.
This year they were thinking they were going to get to
800,000 people.
Over the 5 days.
It's hilarious.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah, and Sunday is always like 50,000 because the Super Bowl's on.
But there's no better lead-in to the Super Bowl.
Saturday is what, like 175,000 people will be on that golf course?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
they've built up like some amazing spectator bar areas and stuff too, like even more than they've had in the past. And it's just, I don't know, it sounds awesome.
And the golf course actually works what they're trying to do, because like there's birdies to be made. I mean, it doesn't look like, it's not a bad looking track. I think it fits the environment for what they're trying to accomplish there. You know, someone's going to shoot.
Pretty crazy how the game passed that course by so quickly, though.
Yeah.
Then they had to bring in Weisskopf and
to redo it. Because, yeah, 18th hole started turning into like a driver and a lob wedge for all those guys.
Yeah.
But no, it's good now. Like, what do you think they'll shoot? What's the, is it 15, 16, 18 under something?
At least
there?
That, yeah. Hideki, you know, he'll win again.
Yeah. But it is a great, it's a great event.
30 like, in a row?
It would be, yeah.
I love watching.
Coming in good form, you know. He shot 69.
He played great on Sunday.
Yeah. With Tiger.
I know.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, that tournament's great. And it's hard big field, stacked field.
It's fun to see the Touring Pros embrace it more and more and more. Because I think when it first started getting crazy, you got a lot of the guys, what, 15, 12 years ago, I'm not going to go do this. I'm not going to subject myself. And now it's like...
Different generation of player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
I'm all in on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they all embrace it.
A lot of guys, yeah, they were like pulling out, saying they didn't want to deal with people yelling and whatever. And now it's like, I think Justin Thomas is playing in it, right? Some of those, like...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They all
Phil's playing in it, right? I mean, Phil's got to love that when you go to the 16th and get, you know...
Yeah.
30,000 people screaming at you. It's fun.
Yeah.
Bring back the caddy races.
I agree. Have some fun. Like,
you could make him sign a waiver, couldn't you, Mr. Attorney? And just sign a waiver off if you crash and burn. It's not the PGA Tour's fault.
It's clearly your own risk.
Yeah. Right.
Nobody's making you run up that cactus-filled dirt patch.
I might eat my words, but I'm not in on Phil. Contending or getting back into form, or
it looks a little rough ever now.
For yeah,
I think it's kind of
maybe like one more win. One.
It gets harder. It gets harder in their late 40s. There's a reason guys in their late 40s don't win much.
He's always sprayed it so much anyway. Like that's so much just worse for him now.
But that's what he said. He's got it locked in. You know, the driver's locked in. He still shot. What you shot, man.
Yeah.
He came out looking good on the weekend at Torrey, but then first part of the week.
You watch those guys in their mid to late 40s, and they just have a hard time putting four rounds together. That's kind of what it comes down to. Inevitably, what used to be a 68 when you're 33, at 47 turns into a 71. And it you can just see how it's rare they win in their late 40s. It's hard to do.
And I'm a Phil fan. I like pretty much everything about his game, but I just don't see it.
Yeah,
happening again. You know that.
I hope he does.
Him and Stenson, a couple of years ago with that British.
That was amazing.
It's so just, good.
And it's that fresh, but it kind of feels like that's light years ago.
Yeah,
I saw this the first time Henrik Stenson's out of the top 10 in the world rankings in like years. So, father time, man, in your 40s and those at that level, it's harder and harder to do it. So. Well,
especially, I mean, like you said, the new generation of guys coming up. I mean, there's so many 25 and under guys that are coming into the top 20. So, I don't know.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be a fun week. Any other interesting?
The web.com caddy firing situation. You guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
No, what happened?
Long story short, on the 18th hole, I don't know how you pronounce the guy's Reen Gibson or something like that.
Reen.
Yeah, he's... Basically needs to make eagle, I believe, to like tie the lead. Yeah, par five. And I watched the video from the caddy today. It was like a 10-minute video of him just explaining like what happened. But
it's like a self-defense on YouTube, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, 100%. Like he was on trial. So the player hooks one left, and they were in the Bahamas. It goes down in like this rocky water, you know, whatever. It's in the hazard. Caddy walks up there. They finally find the ball, and it's between two rocks, apparently. And the caddy tells the player where the ball is, and the player turns. He goes, "Fuck!" Turns around and starts walking away. So the caddy goes down there and picks the ball up. Well, there's a rules official there, and he's like, "That's a penalty. You didn't get consent from the player to pick the ball up." The caddy's like, "What are you talking about? It's clearly not being played." Player gets all pissed. He hears that he just got penalized. Finishes the hole, but the big thing that was all publicized on Golf Channel and all this other stuff was he chips it on, ends up making bogey, but when he hits the chip shot, the caddy hands him his putter. Player takes the putter, head cover off, and basically throws it at him, at the caddy, and hits him like right in the chest with it. And apparently had fired him at like the same time, like right before he hit the chip shot. And it turned out that the caddy, his defense was that the rule states that if the ball is clearly not going to be played, then it doesn't matter if there is consent. Like, you can go pick up a ball if it's, you know, not even going to be, you know, if it's on a 50-foot cliff and the player's standing up there and dropping, you can pick it up. But anyway, player got pissed, fired the caddy, and then there's all this drama about whether the caddy fucked up.
Are they back together?
No,
it's over.
Oh, yeah. But the thing that's crazy is, like, the guy went from second to third.
Yeah.
And he was in second, and he went down to third place.
Yeah, he ended up losing 12 grand.
Like, it was a career-ending type of situation where he'll never be able to bounce back. That's how he acted.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'd be pissed, too.
Yeah.
If I was the player.
Yeah, he was definitely...
Caddy shouldn't be touching the ball. He's got no better.
So when I'm caddying for you, do not touch your golf ball.
I don't think you ever have.
No, nor actually... No, I don't think I would ever actually... In all seriousness, when I'm caddying for you, people like, I can't fathom when I would ever go touch that ball.
Right, even if it's...
I literally wouldn't... Because I could... The thought process would be, why am I... That's your responsibility.
Right.
It's not your golf ball.
Chucking the head cover at him was a horrible look. It was a bad look.
And he apologized for it. The player said, like, I was pissed off. I made a, bad decision. And I'm sorry to the caddy. And I'm sorry to, whatever.
Yeah, he came out looking like a prick. But,
yeah.
You know, at the same time, like I said, man, you went from second to third or third to fourth.
Well, he's finished, like, third the last two tournaments. Yeah. It's not like he's going to, he should be fine going forward.
Yeah.
But now he's got to get a new caddy, so...
Oh, I have John Houston news. I got a hold of his mother at the golf course, and she has denied my request for John Houston.
Told
you. The email sent, I'm paraphrasing, but says he has no interest in doing any sort of a podcast with you. One sentence back. So our quest to get Johnny Ray Houston
short-lived.
Is not still... No. I did talk to Robert Gomez down at the PGA show, so I might be able to get him. So working that angle.
On the note of touching other people's balls, I wanted to take this moment in the sun to give the mom on, I think it was like, what's the par 3 on the back? It's like 11 or 12 at Torrey. Mm-hmm. Starts back towards the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, 11, I think.
11
and 16.
It's like 200 yards dead into the wind.
It's a hard hole. So they have like the overhead blimp shot, and I don't even remember who it was, but some guy hit a big push fade. And so the ball lands like near the cart path. She's on the cart path. She's got a stroller, 2-year-old kid, and the 2-year-old sees the ball land and takes off running for the ball. She literally grabbed him by like the back of the collar and was like, get back here.
Yeah, I saw that too, the aerial.
Yeah. So I told my wife, I said, she's like, why did she grab her kid like that? I was like, so we didn't go touch the ball. I'm like, there are too many morons that go to golf tournaments that see a golf ball and think they can pick it up.
It's not a foul ball at a baseball game.
Which brought me to the great, great Jordan Spieth story that Jay has about when he went to the practice round at the PGA.
Yeah, so we were at Whistling Straits, and it was, I think it was Tuesday, and it was one of the par fives, a huge dogleg to the right with water all along the left, and guys were just screwing around, obviously hitting extra tee balls, and Spieth tried to like cut the corner, and basically it would have been a completely blind drive, but would have cut off probably 80 yards, and he hits the shot, and we were up on a big, huge hill where you could see them teeing off and the guy hits it. So, 99% of the people, he hits this ball over there and they just crowd around the ball hoping that he's going to come play it, which in a practice round, he had no interest in doing that. But like a 50-year-old man walks up, there's people crowded all around this ball. He literally walks up, picks the ball up, puts it in his pocket, and walks away.
There's people everywhere, and he just picks it up and puts it in his pocket.
This guy was like,
He's like, hey.
He knew he wasn't going to play it.
So, this guy was probably older than 50 because he had like tube socks up to his knees. Like, he was like just walking around.
Golf
like,
sandals?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, there's a golf ball.
He picks it up and he walks like 20 feet away, and everybody's like, what the hell are you doing? So, Spieth is up the fairway, and Michael Greller comes over, and he's like, hey, could someone chuck me that ball? Because everybody's still standing where it was. they're all like, that guy took it. And he's like, who took it? And they're like, that guy right there. And this guy's like not responding. Like he's just sitting there like no one's going to like figure this out. So Greller's like, throw me the ball. And the guy is like just non-responsive.
Ignoring
him. Yeah, just completely ignoring him. So Spieth walks over and he's like, what the hell is going on? And this guy finally like gets the ball out and throws it back or whatever. But at that point, Spieth had already said, fuck it, and walked away. He was just like totally disgusted by like this grown man basically thinking he had a souvenir because now he has a Titleist Pro V3.
So after all that, he didn't get the ball?
I think he threw it back. I don't even remember what the hell happened. It was everybody just got like flustered and gave up on the whole thing. Everybody was booing this guy, yelling at him from the top of the hills.
You gotta be that guy, huh?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, people are always looking for something. And then, so that was an example though of the good spectator. And then there was the Tiger Woods yell during his putt guy.
That was brutal.
Who, from what I saw, then got in like an argument with the marshals about them telling him he was an asshole.
He got tossed.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Should.
Why do people do that?
I don't know. I don't think I've never seen that. Even in his heyday, I didn't see that. That never happened to him. That was just a bizarre one.
Well, it was somebody just jumped the gun.
Yeah, I mean, was he drunk and he couldn't really see? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, but my thought was like maybe he couldn't see the ball. He saw Tiger, you know, move the putter back. Sure. Thought he hit the putt and yelled.
Did he yell bad pants?
No.
Okay. I was wondering. Did not yell bad.
Play collar.
Too baggy. Too baggy. 2004.
Was man.
What was the PGA show like?
Busy. Really busy. I would say
ratings were up 40% too with Tiger.
Yeah, I saw that.
40%.
You want to know something crazy?
Beast.
Nobody moves the needle.
The golf business, we had a really good Monday shipping boxes in here today. So, I mean, like, we were laughing like, is there a Tiger effect with
totally
that?
Tiger.
Products, I didn't see anything that was just wow. Like, little improvements over stuff. Got to meet my hero, Tommy Armour III, which was kind of cool. Met TA3. Had a picture with him. But, yeah, I mean, like, if you've never seen it, it's interesting to see because of the sheer size of it. I think I'm a little desensitized to it now because I've been down there so many times. But, like, boosts look good. Like, and there was a lot of activity. I don't know if this to be a fact, but I think the numbers had to be up. I know the demo day, they said, was massively busy. And to me, it seemed like there was more people even at the show. So, yeah, it was like the vibe was good down there. It was cool. Bumped into Bobby Clampett at our hotel as well. Introduced myself. Seemed very nice. So.
Did he forget who you are?
No, he actually.
It's like, I did what podcast?
No, he said like something like me.
I definitely did not do a podcast.
No, he was totally cool. He's like, hey, I get to see you like every other week or something like that. No, he was total gentleman, super nice. So I talked to him for a few minutes, but yeah, it was good. It was good. Did go down there and see it, but
did Bryson DeChambeau have his new like vest thing?
I did not see Bryson there. No.
Swing shirt.
The swing shirt.
I'm sure they might have.
DeChambeau has a swing shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a straight jacket. Literally, it's neoprene
straight
jacket.
The chamois shirt or whatever.
Yeah. I'd probably walk right past it.
Probably like an $80
short shirt.
Piece of fabric.
Was it trying to keep like all connected sort of scenario?
I don't. He played this weekend, didn't he? Or not this weekend, but this week. Was he in the field at Farmers?
I don't think so.
I never saw him. He was at the. He played in. Tournament champions.
Yeah, I just I don't understand. I don't understand where he's at, man. I don't.
He's getting those Cobra irons dialed in.
He's good.
The Grant
Lowe's. Is he good?
Yes. Well, you saw the
count.
Evidence of that was right? Well, that one week he was good.
U.S. amateur champion.
Yeah.
NCAA player of the year.
Yes. Yeah. I grant you, he had a great amateur career.
And his pro career has been pretty good.
That translates.
And he's young, man. I mean, like, he's got a win on tour at a pretty young age. Did he do 1 year on?
He's never on the web.
He never had to go to the web. I mean, that's hard, man. I mean,
all right.
He has card in.
Let me rephrase my statement then. He's clearly a very good professional golfer. He is not Jordan Spieth,
Justin Thomas,
whatever.
He's from the same era, but he'll never be them.
Right.
I think he's one major 10-win guy.
I don't think he's going to win a major.
He might.
I'm not putting him on the major list.
He could win a PGA.
He could. Once again, he was right there at Augusta.
If he gets off Cobra.
God. All right, Grant is 2 for 2 on the gentle soul and 2 for 2 on talking shit about Cobra.
But I put more thought into it, and he was right, though. Like, who plays Cobra?
Fowler just resigned another 5-year deal. So they're just going to pick their 4 or 5 guys, and that's going to be it.
Jonas Blix, Ricky Fowler, and Lexi Thompson.
Okay, so then let's look at it this way. How many, like, free agent people are putting Cobra shit in their bag?
That's what I'm saying, man.
None. Nobody. 0%.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm still saying they can 0%. Any of the Cobra products, their high-end products, play as well as
I had Cobra Woods, there. Fairway Woods. I liked them. But I'm seriously, 0% are putting those in their bag.
I think if Ricky Fowler truly, because Ricky Fowler could get paid by other companies really, really handsomely. He's going to have more money he's ever going to need the rest. He probably already has more money he's ever going to need the rest of his life. He's not going to re-sign a 5 or 6 year deal if he thought those products, he's in the prime of his career, not going to be good
Bubba
enough.
Bubba did it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that begs
for
the question.
For $1 million.
Bubba people do it all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, this goes back to the 80s, man.
Yeah.
You know, people sign stupid equipment contracts they got to get out of 3 years later. They do it all the time.
I think everyone makes such good equipment anymore that these guys can jump back and forth. Sergio can go to Cal. The major companies, no one makes shit anymore. They're all so good. The biggest thing to me is the golf ball if somebody changes it. I think Bubba could go from Ping to Callaway. As long as the golf ball's the same, a hell of a lot easier than he could go switch club companies and then go to a Volvic.
I played TP5Xs like most of the time I was in Orlando.
Yeah.
Those are good. Yeah, they go good far.
I just bought several dozen from Mr. Highland over here.
You're welcome.
I also bought some Vice golf balls today.
Look at you stocking up.
Really?
Getting ready.
Grant, they have a promo now. You get a free hat.
Ooh.
I'll send you the email.
Grant, any changes for equipment 2018?
I'm going to try that M4.
I was going to say, did you get it yet?
No, I mean, they don't ship till middle of February.
Okay.
No, so you wanna, even, no even for a preferred player.
Not even going to Rogue Sub-Zero?
I'll try it. I love the Sub-Zero I have now. But just watching those guys hit that M4 out there in Hawaii.
Twist face. They were getting it pretty good.
And California. They're all hitting good.
Yeah, they've won the last 4 tournaments.
No golf ball changes?
Rory's hitting probably M3, I don't know, or M4, but he's killing it.
Yeah. Most of the guys right now are playing the M3.
Yeah.
SM7 wedges, you know, upgrade to that?
I don't know. I had some pro shop credit, so I bought a couple new wedges last year, so I'm set on those for 2 seasons.
You good?
Yeah.
Good to go. All right. Anything else, kids?
Who are we picking to win this week?
Fowler?
Hideki again?
Hideki, yeah. That golf plays that golf course well. Week. Fowler plays well there.
Yeah, he missed a cut by a shot. That is odd. Yeah. But he really never plays good out there.
They said like he played out there as like an amateur in like top 20.
Yeah.
And then he made the cut like the next 2 years, and then he's missed the cut like 4 out of the last 5.
Why do I think it's going to be like a young gun
Which
guy?
Seems weird.
I got Charlie Hoffman. Hoffman plays well out there. Yeah. He played decent this week.
It is the waste management.
Any of those guys who get it going can play
this
well.
This guy, man.
Wearing his green glove and
his
green flat brim.
That's their guy.
It's a lot of ping guys. There'll be a lot of ping guys playing out there because they're right there.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty wide open tournament. I don't think it favors terribly one kind of player.
I'd be interested to see how like Justin Thomas plays out there.
Well,
I think he's been there
for a couple weeks. Yeah.
I'm going to guess well.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he can. I'll pick him.
I guess he plays okay.
I'll pick JT. And he'll feed into the crowd stuff a little bit.
Does anybody know if Koepka's playing?
No,
he had surgery.
Yeah,
finally found out.
The wrist.
Yeah,
it's a real injury.
Yeah,
finally made sense why he should be here every day.
Yeah.
So our prediction of that was correct. That something's drastically not right here.
Yeah. He's out like 6 weeks.
That's a bummer.
Hoping to be back for the Masters. Yeah.
Funny thing about that though, completely small sample set, but somebody posted that Tiger's stroke gain finish blah 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 was exactly Brooks Koepka's 2017 season.
Wow.
So if you look at his 2017 season, like an average finish, average stroke gained, average this, this, and that, that was Tiger's.
Wow.
Tiger's from Torrey and Shinnecock.
That's pretty much what it sounds like.
Yeah. Happening.
Extrapolating the data out, Tiger's going to win the U.S. Open.
That's all you can say.
All right. Joel, next time.
On that note, we're out.